So what I wanted to speak about, as John said, was tefillah. But being that we are, of course, in the Zman of Elul leading into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's Yerusha Me'tshuva, so we also have to focus on the idea of tshuva as well. So what I want to try to understand, and not just on a simple Pashup Shat level, but really on a deeper level to really understand, to be able to connect to the ideas, is what is tshuva all about? We'll touch on that briefly. But much more importantly, what tefillah is all about, and once we understand that, we can hopefully understand on a much deeper level the connection between the two, between tshuva and tefillah. We have to understand this because, granted, during this time, there's a lot of focus on our maisim, on doing mitzvos, more zrizos, more simcha, on refraining more from our averos. Of course, that's very important, but we also see it as a tremendous emphasis on our tefillos, on our davening, so much so that leading up to Rosh Hashanah itself, and for sure on Yom Kippur, on the day when we hope to attain the ultimate kapara, so on Yom Kippur itself, our entire day is spent with tefillah. So when you think about it, if we're really doing tshuva, we want to get forgiven for our averos, so seemingly the best way to do that is somehow try to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how good we are doing, how much we're refraining from doing averos, how our mitzvos are so positive. But yet the only thing we do on Yom Kippur is daven. So what is it about tefillah? What is the koach of tefillah that has to be the thing that is our avoda during this time? That's what our emphasis should be on. So let's understand this on a deeper level to really try to connect to this idea. So first let's start talking about tshuva. So Chazal tells us on the pasuk of Dir Shu Hashem b'himatzo karuhu b'yoso karov, that we have to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu where He is most readily found, and we have to call out to Him when He is close to us. So Chazal explained that this pasuk is referring to the Zman that we are in now. I'm not sure if they say Elul included, but for sure the Yom Noraim and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That the Gemara in Chagiga explains how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His makom literally infinitely distant away from what we could possibly fathom. There are 7 levels of heaven. Each one, I think the Gemara says, spans 1,000 years' time, and there are 7 gaps in between each level, and above that there are Malachi Asharis, where each section of their body is another 1,000 years. The Gemara goes on in depth to explain how far away HaKadosh Baruch Hu is from us on a daily basis. However, come this Zman that we are in right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down from His Kisei HaKavod and literally rests His Shechina, rests the presence right in front of us, right in this world. So much so, again, that the conclusion of Yom Kippur after Ne'ilah, so we do something that signifies the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now leaving our presence. I think it's Tosfos and Brachos, I believe, that explains that when we say Hashem Hu Elokim, so there's a minhag to say it each time a little bit louder. And that's to signify the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving us, and He's traveling up through those 7 levels of heaven, back Kaviyachol again to His Kisei HaKavod. And the fact that we blow the shofar as well, so I think I heard this, I think this is just the idea Chazal explained, that the fact that we blow the shofar as well is the same idea to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving us, the same way that the shofar blowing signified that Bnei Yisrael were once again allowed to touch Har Sinai after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah at that time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. And this is the time that we have to do tshuva. So what we have to understand about this pasuk, the question is, if we were searching for a pasuk to show that this is when we should do tshuva, this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here close to us, so wouldn't it make more sense to say, do tshuva at a time, find a pasuk that says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is be'eis ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find favor in our tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somehow, He's in a good mood. He's waiting for our tshuva right now. But the pasuk focuses on the fact that it's Dir Shu Hashem b'himatzo, when He's most readily found, kira'uhu, call out to Him when He is close to you. What is so important, so significant about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close, that this is the time that we have to do tshuva? Okay? So, we understand, I'm sure we've learned many different sources. I saw today just a few of them in the Maharal. I saw in the Sifsei Chaim, I'm sure probably in every single Makshava Sefer that was ever printed, probably explains the same idea. The real Metzias in this world, the only Metzias in this world, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Pasha. There's nothing else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that we exist, we only exist insofar as we are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'atem advekim v'Hashem chayim kulchem hayom. We're only chayim, only alive by being davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we are cutting ourselves off from that Metzias. And this is a halacha l'maisa kavana we have to have. when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Shem Hashem of Elokeinu refers to Hashem being the Baal Kochos. He is the all-powerful being. So whereas we can understand Baal Kochos, all-powerful, as a push up shot, Hashem is very strong, he does everything. To understand on a deeper level, it means that there is nothing that happens in this world, there is no Metzius in this world, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing it to exist. Rav Tversky once explained this in his Machshava Chabura. This was a long time ago, probably 7-8 years ago. Explained this idea that we literally have to view it that there is nothing that happens without HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing it to happen. There is no Metzius without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way to be a part of that Metzius, the only way to consider ourselves as if we are Chayim Kulchem Hayom, is by being Dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we do when we commit our averos, and we're all human beings, we all commit our averos, but what we do, in addition to the fact that we put a pagam in our neshamos, that we stain ourselves, whatever that may mean, but what we do is we distance ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remove ourselves from HaMetzius. To the furthest extent, in the worst case scenario, leads to kares. What does kares mean? It literally means cutting off. Because a person can get to such a low level, Rahmanul Atzlan, that they have no connection to that Metzius anymore. So Mimela, the kares, they're cut off. They're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who's not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ceases to exist. Mimela, they're cut off. It's almost as if the kares is not a punishment, it's a Metzius. It's what happens. We do averos to such an extent, we are literally cut off. And if that's what our averos do, so then how do we make up for those averos? By doing tshuva. What's the root of the word tshuva? The root is lashuv, shav, to return, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because our averos distance ourselves from Hashem. To do tshuva means to come closer to Hashem. Again, this is an idea that's found in all the Sfarim. That's the Ikar of tshuva. We have to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, the best time to do this during the year, so we know obviously there is a mitzvah of tshuva. We try to come closer back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But during the year where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, again, those thousands and thousands of years away from us, sitting on his Kisei HaKavod, the job that we have to do, the responsibility that falls on our shoulders, is infinitely more difficult than the Zman that we are in right now, because now it's Dirshu Hashem Pimatzo Kira'u B'Yoso Karov. Hashem is here, comes close to us. Most of the job is done already. Now is the time to do tshuva, because the Ikar is to return to Hashem. He's close to us, he's right here, he's right by us. Now is the time to do that. So how does Tefillah help us accomplish this goal? How does Tefillah help us finish this off? And to complete our tshuva, to really show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I'm not just doing good deeds. I'm not just staying away from averos anymore. I really have done complete and total tshuva. I think there are, I don't remember, I saw it also in a few different places, but Chazal say that Gadol Tefillah Mikol Masim Tovim, something along those lines, based on the fact that with all of the Masim Tovim that Moshe Rabbeinu did, it was his Tefillah that brought him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is it about tefillah that allows us to complete that tshuva, to be that close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we find by davening, and just to be makdim, when we say the word tefillah, so the word tefillah refers to Shemona Esrei. Okay? All the other parts of davening, it's the brachos, and psukit zimra, even birchos kriya shema and shema, are all just a hakdama leading into Shemona Esrei. That is the climax, that is the ultimate part of davening. So when we are referring to tefillah, we are referring to the Shemona Esrei that we daven. And by extension, we could also assume that it's referring to the Tefillah B'Tzibur, or as a very popular YU idea from Rav Soloveitchik, that's not Tefillah B'Tzibur, it's Tefillah HaTzibur, which becomes especially important on a day like Yom Kippur, where we literally spend 3 hours in Tefillah, at least, probably even more, of Tefillah HaTzibur in our Chazaras HaShatz on Musaf. So there are many halachas that apply to tefillah, to Shemona Esrei, that we don't find in any other area of halacha. And this is especially puzzling when we take into account the fact that tefillah, granted according to the Rambam, it is a D'oraisa, but according to other Rishonim, it's a D'rabbanan, and for sure even according to the Rambam, So you just need to daven something. You need to say something in the Yerotzei Yechiv Deraisa. But in general, our tefillos are only on the level of Darbanon. And yet we find certain halachas that apply to tefillah that are not found in any other area. When we learn through the Simanim and Shulchan Aruch of Kriya Shema leading into the halachas of tefillah, so it's very puzzling to see how tefillah, how Kriya Shema is a Deraisa. And in many ways, the halachas are more machmir by Kriya Shema. For example, if a person is besafik, if he said Kriya Shema or not, something happened, he totally forgot, did I daven or did I say Kriya Shema or not? So it's a deraisa, safek deraisa l'chumra. When it comes to davening, safek derabanan l'kula. There are tefillahs in the davos, there are other caveats to halacha, but in general, by derabanan, by tefillah, we go l'kula, but by Kriya Shema, we go l'chumra, and yet there are still certain chumras we find by tefillah. I have five listed here. And you can learn through the halachas of tefillah, of Shmoneh Esrei. You can see it's all over the place. The theme carries through the entire Simanim of Shulchan Aruch. Number one, how we dress. Siman Sadi Aleph describes how we have to have a proper dress code for tefillah, the gartlet people wear, a hat, a jacket, all those halachas. They change depending on the time, this, that. Okay, all those halachas, well, everyone figures out for themselves and has their posik and tells them what they feel comfortable they have to do. But the bottom line is, you don't find that by Kriya Shema. You could say Kriya Shema in just a regular outfit, whatever you happen to be wearing, it's totally fine. Not by Shmoneh Esrei. How we stand for Shmoneh Esrei is a subject of halacha. Not by Kriya Shema. There's an Indian by Kriya Shema, standing, sitting, machlokas, b'sham, v'shilo, fine. But once I'm sitting, I can sit however I want. It's okay how I'm sitting. But by Shema, there's a certain stance we know we have to have. This one is probably the most fascinating. We won't find by any other mitzvah anywhere. When we daven Shmoneh Esrei, if a person is daven Shmoneh Esrei, we are not allowed to walk in front of that person. You can't walk in front of them. That's Simin Kuf Beis. You're not allowed to walk in front of a person davening. Hayatachin, that a person shaking Luv and Esrog, and we're going to say, no, don't walk in front of that person. Don't sit in front of him, he's shaking Luv and Esrog. Why not? What's so different about Shmoneh Esrei? By Shmoneh Esrei, we cannot be mafsik. We're not allowed to make any type of interruption in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And amongst other mitzvahs, of course we can. Not between the bracha and the mitzvah, we're fine, all those halachas for sure. But in terms of actual Shmoneh Esrei, we're not allowed to be mafsik at all. This one I saw in this is in the Mishnah Berurah in Tzadi Hei, Sif Katan Hei. The Mishnah Berurah says that a person who looks up during Shmoneh Esrei, he looks up and he focuses as if Hashem is on the roof somewhere, so the malachim laugh at him. It's the words of the Mishnah Berurah. It's a very puzzling thing. We find this halachas by Shmoneh Esrei, but by nowhere else. So what is going on in our davening? So this is a famous idea. It's one of the, from what I know, not that I know the Chakiras of Rav Chaim al Rambam, but this is definitely one of the most famous ones, especially around YU. It's said very often. I think it's the second piece in the Chidushei Rabbi Chaim Halevi al Rambam, where he finds a stira in the Rambam, where in one place says that the Rambam says, this is, he quotes it from Perek Dalel Halacha Aleph, although, to be honest, I didn't see it there, so it's probably a continuation somewhere in the further halachos, but it's there, for sure. It says, Ketzad kol tefila she'ena bekavana, ena tefila. V'mispala b'lo kavana. If a person davens without kavana, it's not a tefila, and if you daven without kavana, chozer u'mispala bekavana, a person must go back, and he must daven with kavana. But yet, he quotes Rambam later on in Perek Yud that says that Misha has pala v'lo kivin es liba, a person who davens but does not have kavana in his heart. Yachsav is pala v'kavana v'im kivin es liba b'bracha v'shona shuv eno tzorich. So then you no longer have to have kavana. D'mevur lehedja de hakavana ena me'akeves rak b'bracha v'shona. So we see that kavana is only me'akev in the first bracha, whereas Rambam didn't say anything along those lines when he spoke about kavana in Perek Dalid. Comes Perek Yud, and he says that only in the first bracha. After that, you're totally fine, don't worry about it. You can basically just fall asleep while you're saying the words, and it's no problem, it's okay. So he explains. And for a Chakira in Rav Chaim to appear in, again, every single Machshava Sefer, shows that this is not just a Lomdusha Chakira, this is not just some fancy theoretical idea, this is mamash something we have to live by. And these are his words. V'nira lomar, detre gavne kavanos yesh b'tfilo. There are two types of kavanos that we have to have when we daven Shemona Esrei. Ha'achas kavana shal perush ha'dvarim. The first kavana we have to have is we have to understand the words that we are saying. Just simply, I say Baruch, what does that mean? I say Atah, what does that mean? That's one kavana we have to have. Yesoda hi din kavana. And that as foundation is the din of kavana that we have to have. Vishenis, the second type of kavana that we have to have, and these are the important words. Sheikhavein shehu omeid betfila lifnei Hashem. That a person has to have kavana that he is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these words are 1,000% literal. It is not a lomdo shel chakira. It is not a fancy idea. It is 1,000% literal. When we daven Shemona Esrei, we have the amazing, undescribable, unbelievable zechus to be standing mamish in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much so, that you are not allowed to walk in front of me if I'm davening Shemona Esrei. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And you can't walk in front of me if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. So much so that, why am I looking up to daven? Why am I looking like this? There is a halacha in Mishabura, I think it's brought down in Mishabura, that says if a person needs to inspire themselves, to get themselves going for tefillah, so they can look up to the heavens to inspire themselves, but then look back down. It's one thing to get inspired, so we need to look up, because we're not always on that level to really feel truly that we're standing there. But once we're davening, that has to be just looking either straight, mostly looking down. We should be tilting our heads down a little bit. Because if I'm standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what am I looking up for? Looking up shows that I'm in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all the way over there. But when we daven, we have a zechus to say, I'm standing mamish, lifnei melech malchi, I'm lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing right there. I heard a story from the Vilna Gaon. I heard this from Rav Yaakov Zev Smith Shlita, who's a Rav in Torah Vadas. He said over the following story from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gra said this story over himself to his Talmidim. And he said as follows, that he was davening Shemona Esrei one Rosh Chodesh, and he had been struggling over a Zohar, that he didn't have pshat in what this Zohar means. And he was struggling so much, he was putting so much effort into it, and he just didn't know pshat in the Zohar. And he was davening Shemona Esrei, and I guess it should be a source of chizuk to us, that if the Gra's mind can wander a little bit during his Shemona Esrei, so I guess we can say it's not okay for us, but at least we know we're in good company. Halavai, our minds should wander to a finding pshat in a Zohar. But he said that during his Shemona Esrei, his mind started wandering, and this Zohar that had been so perplexing to him, he found, I forgot the number, if it was 7 or 12, let's say even 7, he realized there were 7 pshatim to this Zohar. So he turns to his Talmidim and he says, what would you do at that point? You're davening Shemona Esrei, and all of a sudden these thoughts come to your mind as clear as can be, 7 pshatim in this Zohar that had been baffling him. So what would you do? So he said, well, what I did was I made a siman for myself so I could remember them. So I went on to Shemona Esrei, and I figured this way I'll remember them, and after Shemona Esrei I'll be able to write them down, then I'll be able to have them in mind. But for now I'm davening, so I'll just make a quick siman for these 7 pshatim, and then I'll move on. And he said that by the time he finished Shemona Esrei, he completely and totally forgot even the simanim he had set for himself. To such a point that he reached a state of atzvus. He was sad, and like we said, it was Rosh Chodesh. He couldn't even say Hallel. He was so upset, he was so disturbed, that he was not besimcha enough to be able to say Hallel, because he forgot those pshatim. Finally, he reached, got himself back on track, reached that level of simcha, he could say Hallel again, went on with his tefillos, came to Musaf, sure enough, same thing happened again. He's davening Musaf, and again, 7 different pshatim come to his mind on the Zohar. What do you think he did that time? No. Didn't even pay attention to it. Went right back to Shemona Esrei. Why? He has 7 pshatim in the Zohar. He's just going to let that go? Because when you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're shaking a lulav, okay, fine, you reach a pshat in the Gemara or something, okay, fine, you want to remember it. So you could stop for a second, try to remember it. But when you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing else supersedes that. That is the kirva that we're looking for. That is the shivisi Hashem negdi samid. That is what we want. That is the dveikos ba'Hashem. So I'm going to stop to remember the seven pshatim? No, says the Gruh. I did not even pay attention to it. I went on with my Shmon Esrei. Sure enough, after Shmon Esrei, of course, he was zocha to have that tziyata d'shmaya then, to say, then I remember the seven pshatim, I wrote them down. I guess anyone who wants to see them can read through the Gruh's pshatim on the Zohar and can find them. The point is, the Gruh understood this. When we're davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are mamish standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing else should come into play at all at that point. Obviously, our minds wander. They do, granted. But especially when it comes to halacha l'maisa, the way we stand, the way we dress. A person wears a jacket, a hat. I don't wear a hat. Okay, fine. Wear each lefim adrei gaso. But there should be a bare minimum of kavod that we have. Let's say a person walks around, and I'm not giving musar, believe me, everyone does, again, each lefim adrei gaso, everyone does what they do. But I remember when I was in high school, I would daven Shmoneh Esrei, I put my hands in my pocket. My rebbeim would walk over and rip my hands out of my pocket. Because you stand in front of Hashem, you don't put your hands in your pocket. It's not a sign of kavod, it's not respect. Person wears their shirt untucked. Okay, fine, that's what they do during the day, fine. But standing in front of Hashem, to leave our shirts untucked? We literally have to have that hakara, that recognition, that davening is not just, I'm standing here and I'm trying to throw my tefillahs up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I'm trying to just fulfill a mitzvah. Tefillah is mamish standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard a maisa from Rav Moshe Weinberger that was talking about two chassidish rabbi, I'm not sure which ones, as you, I'm sure many of you are well aware, he quotes these maisim from many of these chassidish rabbi. I don't remember the names all the time, but two of them were talking to each other after not seeing each other for very long. They were in shul, they were davening. So after their tefillah, so one of them turned to the other and said that I noticed that you daven Shmoneh Esrei that's so unbelievably long with such kavana. I finished long before you. You were still going. What were you thinking about? Is it the kavanas of the Ari? I also have those kavanas. So I don't understand. Where does your kavana, where does your koch come from? So he said to him, the difference between me and you is that you have those kavanos, and you think those things, and you want to throw those tefillos up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to send those words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm actually there. I go there. I'm standing in front of Hashem. That's the difference. That's why my Shmoneh Esrei has infinite more koach than yours, because I'm actually there. That's the hakara we have to have. The Gra on the Mishnah on Avos in Perak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, the very famous Mishnah that says, "Our social devarim ha'olam omid." There are three things that the world stands on: Al Torah, Al Avodah, Al Gemilos Chasodim. So the Gra says that each one of those things, each one of those areas, Torah, Avodah, which obviously refers to Tefillah and Gemilos Chasodim, each one refers to a level of Shleimus that we have to reach in our lives. The level of Torah, the Shleimus we have to reach, is a Shleimus with our is a shleimus with our own neshama. That learning Torah as a koach to be mashlim our neshamas, whatever that may mean. The gemilas chasodim that we do allows us to have a level of shleimus with the olam around us, with the tzibur. And of course, the avoda, the tefillah that we daven, so that has the ability, what our avoda is there, the shleimus we have to reach, says the Gra, is a shleimus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we understand that for what it really means. Not that, again, we're trying to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're trying to allow our words to reach Hashem, but literally mamish to feel that we are next to Hashem. That is the shleimus that we reach with Hashem, because we are next to Hashem when we daven. That is the zechus we have. That is the opportunity we have. And now we have somewhat of a hasaga of why it is so important that our tefillos are the clinching factor for us during this time of Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Metshuva leading up to Yom Kippur. Because if the whole inyan of our chataim of the whole year and the whole point of doing tshuva is to return back to our Kadosh Baruch Hu and repair that dveikus that we cut off by doing our averos, and the point of tshuva is to return to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, what better way to do that than in our tefillos? When not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down to us, but then we are literally standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that literally completes that goal that we are trying to attain. We are aiming for that dveikus, and we reach it by davening our Shemona Esrei's. This is a feeling that we have to inculcate so deeply within us that when we're standing in our Shemona Esrei's on Rosh Hashanah, we reach Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur to feel that dveikus to Hashem, to say that not that I'm standing in a shul in East Brunswick, New Jersey, or I'm standing in the Beis Medrash of Yeshiva University, but I am standing mamish l'fei malach malchei amlacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is my opportunity to reach and to attain that dveikus that I cut off the entire year, that I damaged during the year. Now I am repairing that dveikus. I am right in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have completed that tshuva. I have returned to Hashem. There's a line in the Ali Shur in Chelak Aleph. It's on Daf Chaf Zayin, where he explains that the line says, from Rav Volbi, it says, Rav Hispas Chuso Shel Ha'adam Beruchnius Keshura Betfilo. The word Hispas Chuso, I guess, is somewhat ambiguous. I translate it to be the opening of a person as Ruchnius ties in to his davening. I'm going to give a mashal maybe to try to explain this a little bit. I guess we could pick a sport, but of course I'm going to say hockey. So a person who wants to work on their game, a person, let's say, wants to have a faster shot. So to shoot the ball 100 times, maybe that'll help a little bit. But a person who wants to have a harder, faster shot, what does he do? Goes to a gym. He lifts some weights. He does some push-ups. He does some pull-ups. Gets himself stronger. Walks back into the hockey gym. He shoots the ball. He's going to see the extra speed, the extra power on the shot. A person who saw those two actions, a person who sees the guy working out, is there any connection that, oh, well, he's obviously doing that to get his shot faster? Of course not. Is there any, in the physical sight of a person working out and a person shooting a hockey ball, is there any connection to what they're doing? No. But yet, obviously a person who just has a little bit of an understanding, we understand that the fact that a person worked out and strengthened themselves, so then they try to shoot the ball and they're able to shoot much harder, much faster. Same thing with our tefillos. That in every single mitzvah, every single action that we do, so it shows in our tefillos. We strengthen ourselves. We do an extra mitzvah. Is there any real connection between the fact that I just put on tefillin and now I'm davening Shemona Esrei? I said a bracha with kavana, now I'm davening Shemona Esrei. There was a chance to talk Lashon Hara, there was a taiva that I have that I refrained from, and now I'm davening Shemona Esrei. Is there any connection? Of course there is. I'm trying to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So by refraining from those things, by doing the mitzvos with extra zrizos, with extra simcha, then I come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rov Hispas Chuso Shel Ha'adam Beruchnius Kshura Bitfila. That's where all of my other actions are going to be shown. Because now I'm davening in front of Hashem, how much do I feel that Kirvas Elokim? How much do I feel that I'm mamash standing in front of Hashem? It all relies on how much our lives, all the mitzvot that we do every second, is it Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid? So then when we turn to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, do we really feel that close? I just want to be Messiahim with perhaps one of the most powerful little vorts I've ever heard on tefillah. I just heard recently from a shir from Rav Ephraim Waxman that he quoted, again, one of these Hasidish Rebbeim, a Rav Zlotko quoted this from. He said that we know the makor for davening, for saying our tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a pasuk of Bechol Levavchem, Ula Avedo Bechol Levavchem, that we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our hearts. There's a famous chazal, Izuhi Avodah Shebaliv. What is this service of our hearts that we have to do? So itfilah, this is davening. So points out Rav Zlotko that it's la'avado b'chol levavchem. That the chi of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us is to serve him, i.e. now we understand, to daven b'chol levavchem with all of our hearts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not demand something of us that we cannot accomplish. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying Bechol Levavchem, it must be that each and every one of us, each and every person of Klal Yisrael, has the ability, has the potential to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechol Lev, with a Lev Shalem, with 100% emotion and sincerity, to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Somid. And with that, Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach, all of our tefillos should be answered for a year that we only know of simchas, and all of our tefillos for everything else that we are looking for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the coming year, for refuah shlema, for shiduchim, for parnasa, for hatzlacha, and everything that we want to accomplish in our ruchnius, and everything in our gashmius that of course ties into our ruchnius. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should feel those tefillos as close as we know we are standing to Him. And in that way, our tshuva should be complete, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should turn back to us and should be able to say, you have done your tshuva, you have done your part, now I will take over. So Bez Hashem Yisparach, we shall be Shozocheh.